Again, and we're in Heavenly Places, page 157, May 30th, and it's titled The Divine Human Partnership. Amen. Starts off with Psalm 119, verse 73, and says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And then it goes on to say that the human organism is the handiwork of God. The organs employed in all the different functions of the body were made by him. The Lord gives us food and drink, that the wants of the body may be supplied. Yeah, you ever notice that, too, by the way? A lot of people, I remember when I was a little kid, my mom had a lot of issues with cravings. And, you know, because she was pregnant all the time, I mean, I have 10 siblings, all right, so it was a normal lifestyle to have new siblings coming into the room every year. But this craving thing, even as a kid, I understood, I would think most people would, is to, one of the reasons my mom wanted something like, I don't know, a pickle and bacon sandwich. Well, I wouldn't think a bacon sandwich. I would think something more on the ways of healthy type things that most people wouldn't want to eat, like pickles, because they were kind of new back then, I guess. It was the 50s. And it's because the infant growing is going to need certain foods and certain drinks to help in certain parts that are being formed at the time, you know, you're inside the mother's womb. And a lot of people seem to forget all about that once they're born. Well, the infant, of course, doesn't remember any of this, but what I mean is the adults surrounding the infant. They seem to think, okay, everything's fine now, let's give the kid some Enfamil and run on from there. When mother's milk is the best way to go, because that's the way God designed it. But I think I could honestly say, if I asked everybody in here to raise your hand as to who was breastfed when you were a kid, there's ain't going to be a lot of hands going up. And because I wasn't, and I don't know anybody that, I think my wife and I, we the first two or three kids, we did it that way. And but we were Catholic, Sunday keep it at the time, didn't have a lot of money for Enfamil. And but then later on, she started doing the Enfamil thing too. Or formula, they call it. When we were kids, they called it formula. But it's amazing how with some people that are sick, they don't get this. And it's just, I was just talking to a guy the other day, too. I remember this in regards to how he was talking about how I think one of his parents had a medical issue. And one of the things was that they were diabetic. And being told by the doctor that they were diabetic and they were having a hard time or an issue with it, you know, didn't want to deal with it. And I told him about the green trucker. I don't know if you guys know about him, but this guy was extremely overweight, and he was told by the doctor that he had cancer or something like that. And the guy decided to go, and he was already diabetic because of his weight, and so the guy decided to go on a all raw diet and a lot of wheatgrass and stuff like that, because he wanted, he knew, he did some research and he found out that the body will heal itself. I mean, common sense. And so just give it the food and the drink that it needs to heal itself, so they can have the means by which it's, you know, what God would have supplied for him. Not only did he, you know, lose all the weight and get rid of the cancer, but within 4 days of that diet, because it took him quite a while to get rid of the weight and all that, of course, because he was a big guy. But within 4 days, just four lousy days, he cured his diabetes just from going all raw. But you don't want to, I mean, the doctors of today's world, they don't want people to know about that kind of thing, because then it, you know, they're going to lose billions. There's so much money to be made in manufacturing insulin or Enfamil or vaccines or whatever else is out there that, I mean, I'm not knocking the entire medical industry as some people think, because some of these doctors and nurses are overwhelmingly blessed. And there are amazing things that they do, especially when it comes to surgeries and stuff like that, and the way they can repair bodies now, and and the open heart surgery thing that is legit, by the way. I mean, when it's non legit, I mean, come on, you guys are just trying to make some money, so you rip some guy's chest open and replace veins that he didn't need to have replaced. But even there, you can get rid of the blockage in your arteries just by going all raw, you know, all the natural things too. But where some people are, it's like talking to a wall. So yeah, let them have the open heart surgery. But it's just amazing to think that they take the heart, they stop it, they do the work, and they get it going again. I mean, it's just some of the things they do is amazing. But these guys with the internal medicine, with the drugs, and then of course the psychologists and the psychiatrists with their drugs and the psychotropic things, and oh man, steer clear of them like the plague. I mean, it's just sad what they do to people. But she goes on to say that he, speaking about our God, has given the earth different properties adapted to the growth of food for his children. He gives the sunshine and the showers, the early and the latter rain. He forms the clouds and sends the dew. All are his gifts. Now, here's something that a lot of people don't realize. And we just found this out. Well, we've known this for years, but we just had another recollection of this yesterday. Or no, the day before. Well, yeah, yesterday. I cut the grass yesterday. And it took me an hour and 45 minutes to cut it, because I have it like full throttle when I'm driving around, right? And it was just, and I even cut it a day early. But it rained the day before, and we only got like a half inch. But there was lightning hitting the ground in areas, and that's why I put a bucket out real quick when I saw the lightning hitting all the areas, all the ground all around us. And there wasn't any wind, so it was just a thunder shower, and I says, I want that water. And so I put the bucket out, of course. And I don't know if anybody's worked a garden and you're out there watering it with your garden hose, especially if you're in the city, it's really, all you're really doing is just helping the plant not die when you give it the regular city water. Well, water, it's going to give it a little bit of a kick, you know, a slight bit, but man, you give it rainwater, or right after a rain, what happens? Everything perks up, doesn't it? Because the water's ionized. It's got the, you know, electricity running through it. It's got all the properties in it that it needs. And so, you know, it's just like she says here, even for us, with the sunshine and the showers and early and latter rain and whatnot, it is beneficial to the human body as much as it is to the plants out there. But, yeah, she also prophesied in one of her other books, in our day, the devil was going to poison the atmosphere. I've got that statement that she made on my Is She a Prophet page on the website. And I mean, one of these days I might just make a video about that page, because I mean, I'm not an Ellen White preacher. I don't go out there and, you know, put her out there because of the fact that you can't really preach Ellen White on a street corner, because 99% of the people out there don't know who she is. But it would be nice if we got a little bit more people out there reading it, you know, reading what she has to say. I mean, they're out there reading all sorts of, you know, crazy books that, I mean, now here's what always amazes me about this too. You give them a book from Pat Robertson, they'll read it like it's gold, or Hal Lindsey, or Benny Hinn, or any of these other false teachers out there, and they'll read their books and they'll see nothing wrong in it. Like, in other words, you could be talking to Joe Schmo and Mary Mo. You could be talking to two different people who read these books, right? And they'll say, "Yeah, I'm reading that Joyce lady, whatever her name is. I don't know." And the other one says, "Yeah, I'm reading Pat Robertson." And the other guy says, "Yeah, I'm reading Benny Hinn." And it's like, "Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's nice." And one person goes, "Yeah, I'm reading Ellen White." Oh, what are you, a cult? You know, hey, what's the difference? I mean, well, there is a big difference. The fact is, Ellen White, she preaches absolute truth using scripture to back up everything she's saying, and so this is why you won't find her writings in any of their bookstores. But Pat Robertson and all the other ones, they're today's preachers, you know, and so they'll read them. It's just so, yeah, it's just amazing. Yeah, that's funny you should say that, Sean. If you notice in the text chat, he says, rip out portions of her books and leave them in places. I've had two people do that to me in my life when I was a Sunday keeper. And the first person did it. They handed me a book, and the front and the back cover was off. It wouldn't have mattered to me because I didn't know who she was or anything. So, but they just didn't want to take a chance. They gave it to me, and I started reading it, and I saw the $20 words, and I thought, oh, well, this person is trying to seek self-glory. So I put the book down. A few years later, somebody handed me another book, the same thing, front and back missing. But this time I understood. Somebody told me about her, and I found out about her education and how she had to leave the school when she was 9 and all this other stuff. And she, you know, and I realized that the $20 words weren't more or less from her verbiage. It was from the rabbinic code, from the Lord himself. And then it made sense. I mean, look at the Bible. It's got the $20 words in there, too. And so then it was a blessing. So it all depends on how you look at it. But it is a good idea to remove the covers because people get a preconceived idea, which is so sad when you think about it. I mean, they really got to really build these mountains out of these little molehills to make it look like she's a plagiarist or a witch or something like that. When they'll read these other guys like Pat Robertson, he's convinced millions and billions, no doubt, that the guy's a false prophet, some of the things he says, but people still say they still won't have that big of a problem with you reading it. They'll just say, oh, be a little bit careful, the guy's made some mistakes. But Ellen White, they'll make it their life's work to get you away from her. But who cares? $20 words is, Vera asks it's like the fancy, yeah, thanks, Stephen, it's like a sophisticated, like the word sophisticated. That could be considered a $20 word. In grade school, instead of sophisticated, you would say, oh, fancy English language. But if you get a little bit of the upper crust, you'll go sophisticated. You know, and even there, that's not that big of a deal. But you know, that's what I'm saying the difference is, because there's words that even go beyond sophisticated. You know, and she has that ability to use those kind of words with a 9th grade or a 9-year-old education. You know. Anyway, she goes on. But all these blessings, and when she's saying blessings, she's talking about all these gifts, like the early, the latter rain, and all that good stuff. She says, all these blessings will not restore in us his moral image unless we cooperate with him, making painstaking effort to know ourselves, to understand how to care for the delicate human machinery. Man must diligently help to keep himself in harmony with nature's laws. He who cooperates with God. You know, it always, you know, it just never ceases to amaze me when I read stuff like this and I think of certain loved ones that should be here to hear this. And without a doubt, every single solitary time I come across statements like this or from Scripture or just the Holy Spirit moving, I notice that the person that needs to hear it ain't there. You know, at least in my opinion, the person I believe needs to hear it is not there. Because the devil has the ability to sidetrack people in a big way in today's world, as we all know. But anyway, she goes on. She says, he who cooperates with God in the work of keeping this wonderful machinery in order, who consecrates all his powers to God, seeking intelligently to obey the laws of nature, stands in his God-given manhood, and is recorded in the books of heaven as a man. God has given man land to be cultivated, but in order that the harvest may be reaped, there must be harmonious action between divine and human agencies. It's just like today when I was in the garden. If I don't get out there and plant the plants that I've already started in the greenhouse months ago, and then, of course, cover them in chips so that I don't have to keep weeding every day, it's just all going to die. You know? But like she says, God has given man land to be cultivated, but in order that the harvest may be reaped, there must be harmonious action between divine and human agencies. The plow and other implements of labor must be used at the right time. The seed must be sown in its season, which makes common sense. You can't, you know, says, well, I think I'll go out and plant some tomato seeds in December. Yeah, that ain't going to work. And it just says, she says, man is not to fail of doing his part. If he is careless and negligent, his unfaithfulness testifies against him. The harvest is proportionate to the energy he has expended. And then she says, so it is in spiritual things. There is to be a co-partnership, a divine relation between the Son of God and the repentant sinner. In other words, you can't be like Ozzy Osbourne, where, and I only bring him up because when I was a teenager, you know, I used to get into rock music and I couldn't stand Black Sabbath. I just couldn't. The guy didn't have any talent. I don't see him like the Stones and stuff. Some of those musicians out there I just didn't care for because I looked for talent. Anybody can get on stage and scream, you know. I looked for actual God-given talent, if you will, even though I wasn't a Christian. But he had this weird theology, and I remember reading it one time in one of those rock magazines, that he says you can use God to do the good things, you can use devil to do the bad things. Yeah, and I laughed, even as a sinner, even before I even met Christ, I had a laugh when I heard that. I even thought back then, I says, boy, Ozzy, you're actually using the devil for both, you idiot. And that's the thought that ran through my mind, and I even called him an idiot. And if you actually think God's going to sit there and wait hand and foot on you to do something nice, and then Satan's going to be there waiting for his chance to do the work, you got another thing coming. The devil's always been about the flesh. I mean, just the way we are in regular society proves that. And but I always thought, you know, you can't have a divine relationship between God and Satan. It just doesn't work that way. But anyway, Sister White, she goes, we are made sons and daughters of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12. And yeah, you're going to get a lot of false prophets out there that says, hey, look, you're a son of God. You're little gods. We all saw the TBN guy doing that. Brother Craig did a video about that, I think. And Kenneth Copeland, too, actually made that statement that he claims to be a little god on earth. And preaching God theology and telling people they are little gods and all this other stuff. And I mean, totally twisting the scripture way out of proportion so as to gain acceptance to keep the pews warm. And, of course, it works because he has the largest TV fellowship. And that's why the Pope met with Kenneth Copeland a few weeks ago. And we did that video about that. You know, so hold on. Okay, so again, she says, Christ provides the mercy and grace so abundantly given to all who believe in him, he fulfills the terms upon which salvation rests. But we must act our part by accepting the blessing in faith. God works and man works. And no, this isn't, because you're not going to find this in the Bible. It says God only helps those who help themselves. The theology of that statement is in Scripture, yes. You can find that theme in there, you know. The man who doesn't work shouldn't eat, kind of a theology. But a lot of people like to say that that's, you know, absolute. But it's not always that way, because man can work to be the best thief he can be. God's not going to work with that. But still, she says, God works and man works. Resistance of temptation must come from man, who must draw his power from God. Thus, he becomes a co-partner with Christ. And that right there can help many young people that are, you know, wrestling with sin or temptation. Temptation's not sin. It's when you bow to the temptation that sin actually comes in. But it's nice to see this, because then you can realize right off the bat you're working with Christ when you fight off Satan. Even if it's just on your own little level, doesn't matter. Christ still loves you as much as he loves the next guy. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a big, important person in your circle of friends or even on the planet itself. You could be the most important man on planet Earth, or you could be some pauper that makes 5 or 6 cents an hour in some Middle Eastern country. God loves that person as much as he does the super rich person. Because the Bible's clear, he's not a respecter of persons. If he was, then there'd be a lot of, unfairness, if you will, in regards to the blessings. God works and man works. We have to be co-partners with him no matter where we're at in our station of life. And a lot of people have a hard time with that, too. They think, well, you know, I have to stop doing this or stop doing that until I decide to give my life to Christ. It says, well, then you're going to be doing that till the day you die, because you're never going to be able to stop doing this or stop it doing that until you give your life to Christ. You have to be a co-partner with him. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do it. You can't do it. That's the meaning for the new covenant. mean, the covenant is still solid as rock. I mean, still as solid as the rock it was written in, you know, with the Ten Commandments and whatnot. We still have to keep them. The only difference now is he's going to help us. We've already proven beyond a shadow of a doubt before Christ came that mankind, yeah, I want to keep the Ten Commandments, but I can't do it. But everybody says, well, I'm going to keep them. I'm going to try to clean up my act as much as I possibly can. Then I'm going to go to Christ. And, yeah, well, it's not going to work. You got to go to him first. Anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.